You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show. My name is Kirk Barrett, where I'm your host, and we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over. And I'm just going to say this, like, if you're listening right now, you do not want to miss this one particular episode. I mean, don't miss any of them, but this one in particular, because we're going to be talking about my jam, which is, and I'm not the expert. That's why I bring on the experts, and that's why you're listening. And we're going to be talking to Dr. Tito Norris, who I was actually in Mexico with a couple of weeks ago, and we had officially met face-to-face. We had the time of our lives in a night I'll never forget, and we're going to be talking about the life balance mindset. Now, I want you to understand this. As a dentist or as a specialist, this is the one thing you got to get figured out at some point in your career or it'll make you crazy is how do you have a life and still have a business that performs well. And today we're going to unlock the code a little bit. And you don't want to miss this. So do me a favor, grab a pen and hit the share button. Settle in. You're going to love this. Now, a couple show notes. If you're listening on Spotify or Stitcher or iTunes, I don't care where you, it's crazy. We do all these videos. You guys never watch them. I'm totally cool with that. But like now you consume all the audio. So over 150,000 audios have been consumed, which means you guys actually download the stuff on your phone. So do us a favor. If you're listening on, I don't care where you're listening, just hit that subscribe button because I want you to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts because you'll see every single week I'm going to bring you a brand new expert and I don't want you to miss out. So hit the subscribe button. Number two, if you're kind of thinking, I get this question all the time, like, Kirk, what do? We are practice coaches. So we help dentists that own their own businesses figure out a better algorithm. So if you're a dentist and you're thinking, I work too many days a year. You know, the ADA says the average dentist works 209 days a year. That's a lot. That's too many. Our highest producers, 175. Okay. You got to figure out how many days you work. It's not about how many days. Like, if anything, less days and produce more and go be with your kids. If you're not having enough of that, call us. That's what we do. Or if you're giving a lot to insurance companies, let's say you write up 35% every year to insurance companies and you don't want to do that anymore. That's what we specialize in. Or if you're just thinking, I got to get my practice organized and I want my people to get along and I want a better culture, give us a call. That's what we do. We're at actdental.com. Check it out. We've got coaches there. We help people create a better practice and a better life. Now, let me introduce my guest because he's the living, breathing example of this. And Tito, like, I don't know how much you're going to share, but I also know the things that you've shared with me. I'm like, I have to make it a lifelong study to study you. Because I want to be you when I get to be, I don't know, somewhere in this world, whenever I figure out what I'm going to do. Well, let's start here. I want you to introduce yourself. Who is Dr. Tito Norris? Because if somebody's listening for the first time, I want them to know who you are and why they should listen to you. And then we'll get into the subject. What do you think?
Sounds great. Tito Norris. I'm an orthodontist in San Antonio, Texas. And Who is Tito Norris? Well, I guess if I'm going to prioritize things, at first I'm a father to three amazing kids, and the reason they're amazing is because my wife mostly, but me to some part. And we've loved on them. We've nurtured them throughout their whole lives. And we've taken time out of my wife's a physician. And so two busy professionals have really made raising our children a major priority. And so we just haven't taken that job lightly throughout the whole thing. And so we now have these three amazing adults that I'm just super proud of. So that's who I am, number one, as a father. Beyond that, a husband, and a husband who continues to date his wife and take time off to take his wife to dinner and go on vacations with her. And I think those are really important things that we need to do, because let's think about this. Like at the end of the day, right, when you're lying in your deathbed, no one has ever said, gosh, I wish I would have worked more, right? Like it's quite the opposite. What people say is, I wish I would have taken time to cultivate that relationship with my children and my spouse, whoever it might be. And so, those are the things. And when we look at like achievements in my life, I mean, those are the things I'm most proud of, is the fact that I've got a healthy relationship with my wife and with my children, much of which was because, I mindfully have set up systems in my office, which has allowed me to work efficiently and then allowed me to take time off to develop those relationships.
Yeah.
So, I'm an orthodontist who sort of specializes, if you will, in very kind of advanced, complicated, adult orthodontics. I worked with some of the best dentists in the world here in San Antonio. We're just blessed with some amazing dentists, and I do the overwhelming majority of my treatment is actually done with just a handful of dentists, and we do some really cool, innovative stuff that helps people not only, because orthodontics is so much more than just straight teeth these days. I mean, it's about breathing better, right? And so we kind of pride ourselves on having an airway friendly practice. It's about feeling better about yourself and building self-esteem. And my favorite thing in life is to take someone from a state of self-consciousness to a state of self-confidence. And that to me is kind of my highest professional calling. And then beyond that, I've developed some systems, including a bracket system that can help orthodontists achieve better efficiency. And it's called the Norris 2026 bracket system. And so I'm sure we'll be talking about that a little bit throughout the program. That's kind of me.
Yeah. We are going to talk about that because you've got your Norris Experience 2026 coming up on October 1st and 2nd. I'm just going to say, guys, you got to check this out. And it's more than just dentistry. It's all about life. And your wife actually teaches a significant percentage of that course at the beginning on the balance thing. But let's go right into that because, Tito, I'm fascinated by your life. And what I was talking about earlier is my wife and I went out to Cabo and we secretly arranged a dinner with you through Brian Schroeder, which was amazing, and Bill Robbins, who are dear friends. And I'll tell you, I laughed so hard that night, and I really enjoy being with you and your wife. And of the things I continuously get to know about you, like I'm fascinated, and I'm so grateful that you're willing to be such a giving teacher to all this. But I want you to explain what life balance is. Can you define that at this point in your career and help us with that piece?
Yeah, that's a really great question, Kirk. And so here's kind of the way I look at it is that, before I can take care of anyone else, I've really got to take care of myself, right? So what does that mean? That means that I've got to, put fuel. I've got to put the right kind of fuel in my body, right? I've got to eat mindfully, eat nutritious things, and that's different things for different people, but I mean, come on, we all know what we should and shouldn't be eating and shouldn't be drinking for that matter. And you've just got to, start there with fuel for your body. You've got to move your body in a way that brings you joy. For me personally, that's swimming. And I swim about 3,000 meters every morning with my swim team. I did it this morning and then I'm energized. I'm jazzed. I've come to work, focused, and it just absolutely makes me feel great about myself. I'm 55 years old, and I love the shape I'm in. I've got a high school reunion coming up, next weekend, and I'm not expecting many other people to have taken care of their bodies and move their bodies in this manner. And so, whether it's, and it doesn't matter what it is, if it's jazzercise, if it's lifting weights, if it's water aerobics, if it's cycling, find something that you love and take care of yourself physically, as well as, emotionally and mentally, whether that's yoga or meditation, counseling, mental health, all those factors are part of life balance. And the other thing is, we just can't be workaholics these days. We've got to find that balance between being efficient at work and being, creating excellence at work and finding that family time, right? And taking that time off to take those vacations and attend that continuing education. So I think all of those things are factors, at least in my world, how I would define what life balance is to be able to kind of juggle all those spinning plates in a way that is healthy.
I love that. I love that. And now, you could share what you want, but you're not an orthodontist that works like 20 days a month. You care a lot about your practice. You want to do well. So you're not a really, whatever happened. Like, you care a lot. And at the same token, you're in that chasm where, these are competing values, family time. You want to have a great business, but you also don't want to work a lot and you like what you do. And it's a really hard thing to figure out as a dentist. You got to get burned a few times. You got to do some things wrong before you go, I'm not doing that again. What was the turning point for you? Like, give us the key turning point where you're like, I can't do this anymore. I got to choose a different path. Was there a day?
I don't remember there being a day, but I just remember, I started my practice from scratch, hung mountain shingle in 1998, actually. And probably for the first 5 years, I had two really young children, and I was trying desperately to grow my practice. And I was kind of just burning the candle at both ends, just working my patootie off. Day in, day out, late nights, early mornings. And I had, not taken time for myself. I was starting to get out of shape and, it wasn't doing well for my marriage and there was a lot more stress there than there should have been. And I can't think of an actual like cathartic moment or watershed moment where things changed, but I knew that I had to do something differently. And so I was actually got to a position where I could afford to hire a personal trainer, and that was one of the things I knew how to do, is just take kind of better care of myself. And then the other part of that is that I started just sort of prioritizing time off and scheduling that time off and simply visualizing that time off and actually scheduling that time off in advance, like a year in advance. That actually forced me to take it off and actually forced me to kind of close down the practice for those periods of time. And I just like, close the practice. Those are like three dirty words, but amazing things happen when you close the practice, and you can goal setting, deep cleaning, maintenance, repair, continued education for your team. There's tons of things that can happen. If you give your team a break so that they can sharpen their saws as well. And so it really ended up being a blessing in disguise, and we became so much more efficient when I started working less.
Yeah.
Started working fewer days. We actually just skyrocketed. It's so counterintuitive, but it's so true.
It's so counterintuitive that it's hard to even get your brain around it too. And also you hit we're going to continue to, I have so many questions for you. I realize this the hard way is like your team needs a break from you. I had a team member created a little graphic and said, there's no vacation like when your boss goes on vacation. I was like, hey, and they had fun with it. But you know, as if you're a dentist and you're listening to this, you know this is true. You need to go away, and they need you to go away, so we can do better together when we get back together. So, and then you mentioned goals. Can you go in that? So once you figure out what life balance means, you can't just wing it. You've got to start taking time off, planning it, and then you got to set some goals. How? Take us into that.
Well, I mean, Kirk, that's probably the crux of the whole thing is right there, right? For me, you know, when I talk about goal setting, you know, obviously, you know, you want to hit your production, collection numbers, all those kinds of things, right? But for me, my goals were to take off 12 weeks a year, okay? And so after about my first 5 years in practice, what I did was I just sat down with my wife in like kind of November. And I said, hey, listen, you know, for the next year, here's what I'd love to do. And that is, you know, I want to go skiing, you know, these 3 weeks, and I want to go to this continuing education meeting, and I want to go to this study club meeting, and let's take these family vacations. And, you know, what do you want to do? And when do you want to do it? And let's put it all on the calendar and map it out. And then once that's on the calendar first, and that's our first priority, then I'll work the rest of the time, right? Because we work by appointments only, and patients will come to see you when you're open, right?
Yeah.
They're not going to come to see me when I'm not open. And so it's amazing when you prioritize that and you simply put it down, put it on the calendar, and then it's done.
Right.
And it's amazing what'll happen. And that is, you know, for me, and once again, those were my goals, to have 12 weeks off per year, right? A week a month per year. And so once I put it down and it was on the calendar, it was a done deal. It was set in stone. And it just happened. And we continued to grow the practice year after year, you know, even with me being out of the practice for 12 and eventually kind of rolled into 15 weeks. A year off was what I, you know, what I do now. I'm off 15 weeks a year.
Yeah. Now I want to ask you this because I need help with this too. I go away a lot too, but is it easy for you to turn off the hamster wheel upstairs when you're gone for a week? Cause I have to train myself. Like it takes me a full day to get somewhere. I would guess after doing this for so many years, it's easier to turn it off a little bit, or is it not?
I'm literally at the airport, and I look at my wife and I said, I'm on vacation, and it's, wow. And it's gone. I, you know, and the key there, Kirk, is to hire amazing people and to empower them to make great decisions and to coach them. You know, I think there's several different ways to look at our practices, right? And I've always kind of viewed my practice as I've got some amazing careers here for people who want to make this a career. And I compensate people well. We give them, we do a very generous profit sharing incentive. And so my lifers, my longtime employees, and I do have some that have been with me over 20 years, you know, they're in it. Right. They really feel like they own this practice with me, and they are going to be out there. They're my eyes and my ears, and they're watching me, and they're taking care of me and our patients to make sure that, you know, things are going in the right direction. And when you get enough, when you get like a critical mass of those types of people on board, then that culture, it really permeates throughout the whole team. And when we go to hire new people, you know, I'm actually not that involved in the hiring of new people. I let them hire the new people because they're the ones who are going to be working with them. They're the ones who you need to have this other person have your back, right? So you're I love the old Dallas Cowboy coach, Tom Landry, and his favorite thing to say was, I hire the athlete and not the position. Okay. So I can hire someone and train them how to do anything in the office, right? But I cannot train them how to be charismatic. I cannot train them how to be empathetic, how to be kind, how to be thoughtful, how to be generous.
Right.
Those are qualities that, I mean, that's their parents' job, right? And so when they show up for a job interview, they either have those qualities or they don't, right? They're either engaging or they're not. I can't teach someone how to be engaging.
Right.
They've got to show up with this basically set of core values, which we list on our in our break room, and everybody signs. Okay, these core values. You know, be the teammate that you would want others to be. Right? That's one of our core values.
You got to go back to that because now you're speaking my real language, which is how important are core values over the course of your career? Is it a little important? Is it kind of important? Like, how important is it when you're doing the hiring process?
I mean, it's paramount, Kirk. It's everything. I mean, it's you know, when you find that, you know, that energy and that someone has, it's that special sauce, right? Someone that's going to really come in and subscribe to the culture that you've got going on. I mean, the sky's the limit, you know, because they're in it. They see it. They get the big picture. And all of a sudden, just that kind of, you know, bickering and the he said, she said, and the backstabbing and all that kind of stuff tends to just kind of go away. And you know, another one of our core values is just, you know, being a great community member, right? And so what we do is we take a day every quarter and we actually close the office and we go out and we do volunteer work as a team, right? So, I mean, and we've done everything from the homeless shelter to the food bank to Habitat for Humanity and building houses and, you know, animal shelters. I mean, you name it. I mean, we've done all these things together. And this is the absolute best team building you'll ever do, okay? For a number of reasons. You know, first of all, I believe it was Mother Teresa who said, the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. And to me, that's a very powerful statement. And, you know, when you're in a warehouse and with your teammates and you guys are sweating and you're, you know, swatting mosquitoes and you're sorting food for underprivileged families who are really depending on that food for their next meal. Or if you're out, you know, in the humidity and you've got paint in your hair and you're, you know, finishing the eaves of a home for Habitat Humanity and you're doing this together, you know what? It makes it really grateful that we've got air conditioning and indoor plumbing and a really nice smelling office with, you know, massage chairs out in the waiting room that you can go and get a massage at lunch if you want to. And it really kind of, you know, puts those problems at the office in perspective. And people come back to the office on Monday morning, sort of re-energized and it's sort of another mindset shift, if you will, like, I work in a really great place that has, you know, medical insurance and a 401k and a profit sharing, and indoor plumbing, right? And so it really, really helps, to center and focus your team, you know, and have all the oars in the water rowing in the same direction. There was a great book, and this is something else that we do. We read a book a couple times a year, so once every other quarter, we'll assign a book, and we'll have them read. And it basically, you know, and you say, well, how am I ever going to get my staff to read a book? Well, if you don't have to read it, right? But if you're willing to read it and submit a one page little book report, little summary about how did this book resonate with you? What did you get out of it? How can you apply that to our team here at work? If you're willing to do that, I'll give you $50. Ulysses S. Grant. He speaks. Okay. And you'd be surprised at how many people will be willing to read a book for $50 and write a little one page report. Yeah. And so with that, you know, we've read, you know, tons and tons of books over the last 20 years. And we've gleaned, you know, a lot of really great information about team building. One of the best books we've ever read was called Boys in the Boat. And have you read this one, Kirk?
Oh, I haven't. I got to put that on my list.
Yeah. So it was written, and it's a beautiful story, and it's told in the 1930s, and it's about the U.S. Olympic team, and the protagonist, the main character, is just this poor little farm boy who comes from very, very meager beginnings, and he essentially has to raise himself from the age of 12, and just kind of just through sheer grit and determination, makes it into college and makes it onto the UW rowing team. And then just kind of talks about, you know, coaching and what it means to be a coach and to be a part of a team and to find your swing, right? So that you're all rowing in the exact same sync with each other, and we're rowing the same direction at the same time with the same goal. And it's a very powerful parable for teamwork in any situation, but I think especially in a business or a dental or orthodontic office for that matter.
Yeah.
And the book was recommended to me by a good friend in the Seattle area named Matt Bruner. And he's a phenomenal orthodontist out in the Seattle area. But it's literally been one of the best books we've read. And to this day, we still, think about that book and think about the swing and what was able to, bring this college group of athletes to eventually go to the Olympics and go to Germany. And, I'm not going to spoil the book, but they, under some very rigged circumstances, the story is just, it's a page turner. It's beautifully written.
I have to check it out. Because Tito, you heard these questions, like, how do I motivate my team? And then I had a coach come in one year and say, well, don't ask that question. How do you motivate? My question for you, Kirk, is what do they have to be authentically motivated about? Because you can't throw a carrot out there all the time. They got to come to work and go, I like working for this Tito guy. I like who I am. I like what it stands for. I like the why behind what we do, all that stuff. And that's way more powerful than an incentive program on a weekly, monthly basis, don't you think?
Absolutely. And people, they want to be admired. They want to be respected, right? And they want to be appreciated, right? They really, really want to be appreciated. So, just one little thing that I try to do. And, if I'm seeing here with a patient and say, hey, Janie, things look great. We're going to be wearing some elastics on your right-hand side. And I'm going to turn you over to Anjali, and she's amazing. And she's going to go over a few tricks on how you're going to take better care of your braces today. And be sure to listen to her because she's been doing this a long time. She's really good at it. She's super smart. And just kind of build up your team members. And that's so easy to do. And how does Anjali feel? She feels great. She feels like she's walking on cloud nine. And she got respected. She just got admired, from her leader. And so, I'm going to give her that. She's going to give that same respect and admiration right back to me.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
It works both ways.
Yeah. So number one, you got to define what this means for you in the first place, right? And then secondly, you got to start. I don't think you ever stop building a team. You're always looking at either, nurturing, recruiting,
training,
yes. Enlightening, empowering.
Yeah, I mean, you name it. Absolutely.
And then you got to give some tools, which I know you're a big fan of systems. I want you to talk about systems, because you're a big systems guy. What does the word systems mean to you so that it helps your people do what they need to do?
Yeah, I love that word. And, I'm a big fan of John Coyce. And, I think all of his restorative courses, and the one sentence that John Coyce said that's really resonated with me was that if you're doing a crown prep and you've got to, during some point of that crown prep, you use a burr, right? And then you take that burr out and you use a different burr. If you ever go back to that burr that you used to, that you first started off with, then you don't have a system.
Right.
And so that to me is it just sort of epitomizes, efficiencies in ergonomics, in communication, and all these things. Let me just kind of give you a brief example of a very integral and silly, stupid system in my practice. Okay. So what we do as orthodontists, we bond stuff all day long. I bond brackets, I bond attachments, I bond everything. It's bonding. Right. So what is the system? Right. I mean, you've got to etch the enamel with phosphoric acid. Right. You've got to put on a sealant. Right. And then, and if it's porcelain, you've got to use a porcelain conditioner, porcelain primer, silane coupling agent, stuff like that. So in my practice, if an assistant hands me a green microbrush, I know that that has phosphoric acid on it, right? That's my etchant, because that is our system. And if they hand me a yellow microbrush, I know that it has sealant on it. And if they hand me a white one, well, then I know it's got a silane coupling agent, a porcelain primer on it. All right, so that's a little, seems like such a silly little minor system in my practice, but come on, it's, you know, kids are out of school, 3:30 in the afternoon, you're in the heat of battle, you know, there's stuff all over the place in your treatment room, and you reach out for a microbrush and you don't know what's on it because there's no color-coded system. And so now you've got to reach into the drawer to grab a different microbrush. You got to get the acid etch back out or the sealant back out. And so you've just wasted time and resources by not having a system. So that is just, I think that's one of the best examples I can give of just a little micro system within our practice that we use probably 50 times a day.
Yeah, that's brilliant, Tito. And remember, you know, I'm a big John Coyce fan and the Checklist Manifesto. Every time you create a system, you save thousands of hours of the future.
Yeah.
So people are like, well, that would be hard to put that all in. Well, it'd be hard to do it the way you're doing it for the rest of your career.
Yeah.
And the other thing too, Tito, speak to this. When you give your team members the gift of a system, they can now transfer their energy to the things that matter most, which is the patient or other team members or they can give energy to relationships, not to processes, right?
Absolutely. I yesterday I was sitting in the chair. So on our second appointment, that's when we bond the second molars. We call them sevens in the orthodontic world. And my assistant and I, you know, went through the process of bonding the sevens. It takes us 4 minutes to do that, right? And then mom was sitting there watching us, and she said, "You guys did not say a word to each other, like, and yet she was there and just passed you everything exactly right on the same time." And it, you know, for a second I was like, okay. I mean, I'm glad you noticed that, but we have systems and we've got systems for bonding specific teeth actually. Right. You know, I know that for the lower left seven, my assistant already knows that she needs to hand me a cotton roll and a triangle. Right. And that for the upper left seven, she's going to hand me a double-sided mirror so I can retract and see at the same time. And she knows exactly when to come in with the air to clean off that mirror. So these are all systems that we've developed over time. And it flows so easily that we don't even need verbal communication, right? We've got that system down so pat because we've done it so many times, and we've refined it so many times that it's just part of our ergonomics. It just flows, and when you can do that, just like you said, Kirk, we are saving thousands of future hours because I can do this procedure in 4 minutes of doctor time every time.
Yeah.
Before I'm 4 minutes in the chair, I know I'm going to be 4 minutes of doctor time.
Yeah. And really the thread of this whole thing, Tito, people like to use life balance. I love this conversation. At the end of the day, it's all about time, like how you manage time. How do you value time? How do you use time? Can you talk about that concept? Because really, I mean, 12 to 15 weeks a year, I'm already starting to do the math. I'm like, that's amazing, number one. Number two is, how do you manage time, you know, at work? And then also with patients, you've got to direct them into time slots that fit your vision for your time in your life. Can you just talk about the concept of time and what it means to you?
Oh, gosh, yes. So time. Let me just, one of the best things I started doing early on is a process that's called indirect bonding. And actually I've got one right here on my desk. I'm just going to hold it up. So if we, in a process of indirect bonding, so basically what we do is we bond brackets to the model. Okay. And then we make a transfer tray and all of those brackets go in the mouth at the same time. So I'm right here at my desk, kind of between patients, and I don't have to fight the lips, the teeth, the tongue, anything. I've got direct vision. I can line up my axes and I can put this bracket in exactly the right position and much more accurately than I could if I were chair side. And I'm not burning chair side minutes in the clinic, right? I'm burning kind of extra minutes between patients and things like that. And then I'm delegating the rest of that procedure because I've already done my work as a doctor, right? I'm going to delegate the rest of that procedure, the fabrication of these indirect bonding trays, the seating and of these indirect bonding trays, everything else is delegable in this office. So that's just one example about how I can leverage other quality employees' skill sets to maximize my time, right? My efficiency. Because if I go to a chair, I know that it's going to take me 11 minutes if I need to direct bond that patient.
Right.
But I've gone from 11 minutes chair side to 0 minutes chair side and maybe 2 minutes in my off time to set up a case, because they come to me and they're already pretty darn close. I'm just going in and tweaking a little bit because I've already trained my laboratory technician on how to set things up based on a lot of different parameters, right? And you know, and we have a system for that too, because I've trained my lab tech. I've trained a new lab tech we just hired. I've trained my own daughter to set these up. And so you got to have systems for everything. And if you've got those systems in place, then and you leverage your talented staff of your team, well, then that frees up your time. Okay. Right. So your time to do what you want to with it, right? I mean, do you want to be busier? Do you want to open up more time in your schedule? Do you want to take more time off? Do you want to close a few days and go see your son's baseball game or soccer game or theater stuff? Do you want to close for 2 weeks and go to Europe like I'm going to be doing here in a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, this could be a 3-hour.
With your time, that's what you've got to decide.
Oh, for sure.
What do you want to do with your time? Right.
Yeah. This could be a 3-hour podcast because I have like 90 more questions. Now, I want to respect your time, but also, too, like this doesn't just stay in the walls of your practice. You actually train your GPs and pass the systems along there. You know, if you guys haven't listened to the other, several other, you know, Tina's a big fan of pre-orthodontic bonding, which saves so much time and accuracy. Can you just give us a little sliver of that? Like, you're training your GPs how to refer and take care of patients, thus saving time together, correct?
Correct. So what's the biggest stumbling block that you have to getting patients to accept orthodontic treatment, right? So part of it is the fact that they don't want to be in the orthodontic penalty box for 2 years, right? Right. And the other part is they're not real crazy about wearing braces, this kind of thing. So yes, we do have Invisalign and we've got the braces that go behind the teeth. But, you know, on some of these more challenging interdisciplinary cases, particularly wear cases are most efficiently treated with brackets and wires, at least in my hands in my practice. Okay. So what we've done is, and this comes from Vince Kokich Sr., is that we, before, I mean, obviously they see the general dentist or restorative dentist first. He takes his records. He maps out a treatment plan. They come to see me. We take our records. We map out a treatment plan. And then, of course, we get our heads together. And say, okay, which teeth are you going to be restoring? Okay, so the key here is they're going to go to the restorative dentist. They're going to provisionalize all of the worn teeth that are going to eventually have definitive restorations. They're eventually going to have either, you know, crowns or veneers or whatever. So all of those teeth are going to be restored back to their natural anatomy. And then you're thinking like, whoa, 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 that's just not possible. I don't have the vertical dimension to do that. I can't do that. You can do that. What you got to do is just disarticulate those two models. And here's your maxillary and here's your mandibular. And you're going to restore these teeth. And then you're going to restore these teeth. And don't worry about how they fit together, because that's my job, okay? Mm-hmm. So when you do that, yeah, the patient's going to be hitting on those restorations that you just did. And so you're thinking like, oh my gosh, you're going to break them. No, because they're going to come straight from their office, straight to my office. We're going to put their orthodontic brackets on. We're going to put them into some bite turbos or bite razors, if you will, okay? And we're going to raise up their bite. We're going to disarticulate them. And now, rather than doing pure intrusive movement, which means I've got to push teeth back up into the bone, which, by the way, is the hardest movement to do, I can now do a combination of intrusion and extrusion, which is, by the way, the easiest movement to do, okay? And so I can reduce treatment times significantly and reduce number of appointments significantly. And it's not unusual for us to finish treatment on these wear patients in under a year. And so then at the end of that, right now we've got a patient who has the correct size teeth, and these correct size teeth are now fitting together in a perfect class one occlusion with the appropriate amount of incisal overjet and overbite, with the maxillary incisors in the correct plane of space in all three dimensions, and you know, mesofacially, buccolingually, you know, cants corrected. We've got everything set so that when they return to the restorative dentist, it's a walk in the park. There's no guesswork. But that pre-orthodontic bonding has created a three-dimensional blueprint for communication between the restorative dentist and myself. And it's a wonderful, beautiful thing. And I owe Vince Kokich Sr., just a world of gratitude, God rest his soul, for teaching me that back in 1997 in Fiji, when I went to visit him as part of the, believe it or not, I was in the military, and I took it's called permissive TDY, which means you basically get some free time off, right? To attend a meeting in Fiji from Japan. And I spent a week with Vince Kokich, and that was the biggest pearl I got out of the meeting for that week. For the entirety of my practice. That was 1997. So what's that, 24 years ago?
Yeah. But Tito, if I'm a GP and I'm listening, you're messing with my brain, and I can't, because I've always done it the other way. Wait. What you're saying is I can actually get the teeth to look exactly the way I want them, and then you're going to put them in place? Like, I've always done it the other way, where I complain that the orthodontist doesn't get them in place, and then I try to do all the after work. Can you imagine how many hundreds of hours you save changing the way you think? And the best, here's what I want you guys to know if you're listening. The best teachers, it isn't often what they say, it's how they think. That's the most important thing, you know? So I love this conversation. Tito, I got to know this, because again, I got like 90 more questions. What's on the horizon for you? You're a great thinker. You're 55. What's the future for Dr. Tito Norris look like? What are you working on next?
Thanks, Kirk. I really appreciate the vote of confidence there. So for the last several years, I've been developing my bracket system. It's a Norris 2026 bracket system. So, you know, it's just kind of a matter of getting the word out in terms of that bracket system and you know, why it's superior to other things that are on the market. And we have some very compelling data from treating patients more efficiently with a bracket system that just simply engages more closely the wires that we like to use in orthodontics. And so that just leads to fewer visits to complete a case. Okay. So that's kind of my first love and passion is kind of spreading the good word about that bracket system. But also, Bill Robbins and I think you're going to see us a lot more teaching and just kind of sharing some of the really cool things that we've done with some cases and with some patients. That is, some of the stuff is sort of leading edge stuff, and it's stuff that, you know, like is outside of the box, and it's very applicable to patients that you have in your own practice. And Bill and I are very excited. In fact, next weekend, we're going to spend the weekend together kind of brainstorming, you know, some of the different venues that we're going to be using for these educational platforms on how to share some of this cool stuff that we've been doing together, like over the past 10 years. And that excites me. It really does. And, I've got a young partner who's buying into the practice. And as he takes more responsibilities and stuff, I'm going to sort of step back even more and do probably, you know, more teaching, more traveling and teaching, and more, you know, combine that with some travel fun with my wife. Hey. You know, we're empty nesters next year.
I want to come. I've already been on.
Bring it, brother.
I mean, we're playing the back nine. You got to enjoy those holes on the back nine, you know? Yeah. So I do want you to talk about the Norris experience. Now, you're going to have it on Friday and Saturday, October 1st and 2nd, and the Norris experience 2026. So tell us what happens. Now, it's not just about dentistry. It's a very well-rounded experience. If I come, which I'm going to highly encourage you guys to check this out, what can I expect?
Okay, so it's specifically geared towards orthodontists, right? And so it is... you basically get to kind of peek underneath the kimono, right? We give you our secret sauce. And in 2 days, what happens is you land in San Antonio and you don't touch your wallet for the next 2 days. That was sort of my vision. I wanted you to just completely be relaxed over the next 2 days and focused on nothing else except learning. And so the charge I've given to everyone that's involved with this program is to, with each, I'm going to call them like little TED Talks, like little mini lectures. And it's everything from, my wife actually leads it off with a talk on with balance, health balance in your life and moving your body. And she looks at inflammatory markers, and she has offers an opportunity to do a complete blood work with the Cleveland Heart Lab, and it does a follow-up consultation with you, and kind of get your health on the straight and narrow. We talk about exercise, we talk about nutrition, we provide all the food for the entire weekend. It's nutritious food the entire weekend. We provide hotel accommodations, a beautiful hotel throughout the weekend. We go through every step of the process, and there's a great book, and I'm completely blanking right now, but it's the five touch points, basically, is what it is. So within the course of a patient being a part of your practice, you have five opportunities to develop a relationship with them. So they are the pre-touch. So what is that? That means everything that is already out there in the community. That's your community karma, if you will, right? What is soccer mom saying about your practice? What are people saying on Google reviews about your practice? And what's going on there in terms of what's your social media presence? What do people know about you before they even pick up the phone and call your office for a new patient examination? All right, so that's the pre-touch. And so we talk about how to develop that community karma, if you will. The next thing is called the first touch, right? And you never get a second chance to make a first impression, right? So how do we make Disney jealous with that new patient examination process? And how do we treat them? And if patients are coming in for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 consultations, how do we differentiate ourselves so much that they would be an idiot to go anywhere else, right? Because that's what we want. We want to just simply think about it like a SWAT team. When they go in and they do a drug raid, they come in with overwhelming force so that the druggies are just like, I give up. Okay, I give up. Well, the same thing, when the patient comes into your practice, you want to simply overwhelm them with the way the office smells, the way the office looks, how they're greeted, how they're treated, you want your records to be superior. You want your photographs to be great. You want it to be a comprehensive examination. You want them to leave that that examination process thinking like, wow, like I don't need to go anywhere else. This is where I need to be, right here. Okay. And that's the first touch. And it's a powerful process that we have. And we like I said, we let you see behind the curtain and see all the elements of that. We describe that in a very digestible way with some actionable take home little business card type things that you can take home and just like Monday morning, you put this into place here. And then the next touch point is what we call the core touch, right? So that's from essentially braces on to braces off, right? Those appointments in there, we've got multiple opportunities to create that relationship with the patient, right? And so that relationship can be a positive one, or it could be a not so great one, right? And so a very wise man told me one time, he said, Tito, you're going to be an influence on people in your practice. It's up to you to decide what type of influence you want to be. Love and it. I think those were brilliant words from a man named Homer Phillips. And it resonates much like, I mean, Jane Goodall has a famous quote that's much the same way. Like everyone, you're going to make your mark on this earth. It's up to you to decide what kind of mark do you want to make. And if I can be an inspiration to a patient in terms of, maybe I write them a letter of recommendation to get them to dental school, or maybe I, inspire them to recycle at home through our green initiatives here at the office. And maybe they see that our office is LEED certified and they end up writing a term paper on that or something. If we can be a source of inspiration, if we can help someone be a better version of themselves through those core touch opportunities, then you know, yes, in addition to giving them a beautiful smile and that's functional, it's going to last them the rest of life, and is the right individual smile for that person. Yeah, I feel like I've really done my job, right? And then the last two, just briefly here, is final touch. In other words, when the braces are off and it's their last visit, like, how do we make that memorable? And in our practice, we make that memorable by giving them some goodies. We give them some balloons, some popcorn that they shouldn't have been eating anyway, and we serenade them. We sing them a song, and there's some balloons going, there's fanfare, and we all get up there, and it's to the tune of the Flintstones, and it is joy. It's a joyous, memorable occasion. And if I could give anybody a word of advice, and that is on your final touch, make it memorable. Because moms have their cell phones out, and they're recording it, and we take a picture with the patient, and it's truly memorable. And we try to make it memorable for every single patient. We stop what we're doing and we take 2 minutes to serenade the patient. Right. And then the fifth opportunity that you have is what's called final touch. Okay. And final touch is this. And that's once again, it goes back to your social media. It's about sending them an e-birthday card. It's keeping yourself on the top of their mind, like TOMA, top of mind awareness.
Right.
So that when, hey, someone at the soccer field asks, hey, you know, what do you think about orthodontics? Oh my gosh, you have to go to Stone Oak Orthodontics because Dr. Norris and Dr. Caesar, they're just amazing stem to stern. And, you know, I just got a birthday card from them. My kid hasn't been seen in 5 years. And I still got a birthday card from them. Or they just invited me to their fun run that they're doing to support the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Like, wouldn't that nice of them to invite me? I haven't been in practice in 3 years, and yet I've got this e-card invitation to participate with them as they're continuing to do community service. I really, you know, it's like the kind of thing, like, I love spending my money at Costco because I know that Costco takes really great care of their employees, and they're just a great business. And so, you know, same thing here. You know, people see the good that you're doing out in the community, and they don't mind spending their money with you because they know that their money's going to a good place. It's going to a good cause. And we're taking care of our employees, and we're taking them on CE events. And I love taking my team to Tahoe. We have a retreat every year, and sometimes we do it at a beach versus a mountain, and we take a few days and really gel together as a team. And I think it's money well spent. And patients hear about this, and they're so jazzed that we do this for our employees. They're so pumped that we're taking care of people the way that we do. And so those are your five touch points. And that's a big part of what we're going to cover, you know, throughout this weekend. And I probably got off a little too much of a tangent there. But yes, in addition to treating some really cool cases in a very innovative ways and learning more about the bracket system and how to use some tricks and tips and be even more efficient with it. Yeah, we do all that stuff too.
That's awesome. Well, I'm going to encourage you, if you're listening, check it out. We're going to put it in the show notes. So if you're listening right now, you can flip up to the show notes. You're going to see a link that you can register for the Norris Experience 2026. It's going to be Friday and Saturday, October 1st and 2nd. I highly encourage you to check it out. Check out more of what Tito's doing, his bracket system, everything. And if you get a chance to have dinner with Tito, take it because it's worth its weight in gold. Hey, brother, I know we went way over, but I am so grateful. And I'm going to have you back again and again and again. And we're going to observe or learn from you a whole bunch of new different concepts to make our lives better. So thank you, brother, for being on. I really appreciate you.
Thanks, Kirk. It's been a real pleasure. And I get so excited about this stuff. Sometimes it's hard to turn it off, and I apologize.
Don't even sweat it, man. It's my I love this stuff. I mean, I'm not kidding where I say we could take this into a 2 or 3 hour thing because I have there's so many components of this. I also think it's one of the most important pieces of life and dentistry is to figure out or at least learn from people that are thinking differently on this important subject. So,
well, I've stood on some shoulders of some amazing people, and you know, very little of what I do is original. It's borrowed or stolen from really great, wonderful people who've gone before me. And all I've done is kind of taking these, you know, picking up these little pearls, these little gems, and put them all together in a digestible package. And that's kind of what it's all about, right?
Same. That's how it works, man. And just keep paying it forward. So. Cool, cool, cool. We'll stick around when we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show. If you enjoyed today, which I know you did, just do us a favor. Hit the share button, share with your friends. Keep sending us suggestions for things that you guys want to see. whether it be from Tito or anybody else, I will line them up and I'll make them happen. And until we see you guys next time, keep watching Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. And there you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.